Grandparents have a great opportunity, and the opportunity is not only share their faith, but be fun. Fun and faith. Fun and faith. It's so important because supposedly we do have extra time. So many say they don't. Well, choose to be intentional and realize your legacy is in the hands of your grandchildren.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J, and also special guest Rosemary Barnes with us this week. And you're talking about extra time, though, but you're kind of new grandparents. So do you have a lot of extra time?
We're incredibly young to be grandparents, and that's the problem.
People are shocked when they know that we're grandparents.
They should be.
I've never had anybody be shocked at me for being a grandparent, but they are shocked at Rosemary being a grandparent. But I do think I do have extra time on my hands if I make it. I have to choose to make the extra time. Yes, we both have careers, but I do have to choose what am I going to be glad I did. I did everything in my power not to miss any of my kids' activities, and I worked around it. And if Roby had a 4 o'clock soccer game, I just set up families to meet with at 7 o'clock or whatever that night. I'd come back from the soccer game and go to Boston Market and eat dinner because Chick-fil-A wasn't here yet, and hang out and adjust. I need to adjust like that for my grandchildren also, because this is part of the legacy. This baton is still being passed, and choose to do that.
And we talked, you know, earlier this week about investing, sharing stories and all that, but you're also talking about fun. And one of the things I do remember was playing shuffleboard with my grandparents.
Wow.
That's
cool.
I don't think I've ever played shuffleboard without my grandparents around. Like, that's how little I played it, but I learned how to play it, and that's the last time I played it when I was a kid with my grandparents.
That's
fun. You know, it was always like little games that we could play that I would never normally choose to play that I could with the grandparents.
Well, I think shuffleboard is that age group thing, that, and in the Midwest world, it wasn't shuffleboard, it was croquet, and playing that, or in the Northeast Coast, it was bocce, which is lawn bowling, and I think that's a fun thing, though, and get them into whatever, but I think also we need to jump into their world a little bit and do their fun things, just choosing to have fun.
So what do you do then with your...
Well, again, I think it's, you know, age, you know, appropriate and all that kind of thing, but thinking it through, I think that's been the main thing. We had Reuben spend the night for the first time a couple weeks ago. And in fact, we had him for a couple of days because Tori.
And it was the second time, actually, but it was.
But
know,
this last time was a longer period.
It was 48 hours and 3 minutes, yes.
But we knew that we had this time coming up. And so we thought through it and thought, okay, now what do we want to do? Is heading into the Christmas season. So there are lots of opportunities, like going to see lights. And we went down to Oasis and saw their light show you know, all these different things. But the fun thing about it was we thought through it. We talked about making Christmas cookies. We talked about roasting marshmallows in the fireplace. We talked about these various things. And we had too many activities planned so that we would have something to draw from. And it ended up being a wonderful time. It was fun. There was a lot of laughter. There was a lot of enrichment time with Reuben.
He's three.
He's
almost three. He's almost three. And walking by, you know, going to Oasis Church and walking by Guy Melton's camels. In the back with a little almost three-year-old was absolutely amazing. But being fun, and not just activities fun, being fun doing nothing, being fun getting down on the floor with them. You know, I'm 64 years old and I'm down on the floor playing trucks. And I didn't realize all these cars from the movies have names. And he would correct me on the names of the cars. And it would be so much fun. And then on purpose messing up the names. So he would act like he's frustrated trying to teach me the names of what the names are. And just laughing and you know, knocking him over and rolling around. We have the opportunity to be another person investing in their life. So as we're investing fun, then the end of the night, we're reading with him and we can read these little books that are about the Bible with him and just spend that time talking about various character issues. But you earn that right by having the fun. And you know, Rosemary making cookies with him, Mimi, Grandma making cookies with him and acting like she doesn't know that he's sneaking the dough and eating the dough after she kind of gave him permission to eat the dough, but then helping him not eat the silly putty later on. Yes.
Right.
In the whole process. But we need to be fun and we need to have some activities to keep their hands busy so we can engage their brain. And we need to end up the night doing those things that we need to do and reading the Bible stories. Fun and faith, those are two things that grandparents can absolutely invest in.
My mom just told me last week she stole an idea from a friend of hers. She said, you know, I know it's a struggle. We're very busy during the week. So are you. So why don't we just have the kids over on Saturday morning, which I'm thinking that's the only day I can sleep in because I get up for church on Sunday. But Saturday mornings and have pancakes.
And that's it. It can be a half hour. It can be an hour. I will block off the whole morning. It's up to you guys when you want to come, but I'll have everything ready. And so we're yet to try that out because we have them every other weekend. And so we're going to see how that goes. But what a great, they love pancakes. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be fun. Just saying we're going to go eat pancakes, even if they don't want to go, they'll go to eat pancakes.
Right, right, right.
So she kind of hooked them on that way.
Yeah, that's great.
I think it's brilliant because we're using another, quote, appetite, the appetite to have fun, the appetite to eat pancakes, that's sugar, to engage them, to pull them in and build the relationship. Because as I build the relationship, I have the opportunity to share whose I am. They get to know who I am. I have the opportunity to tell funny family stories. And there's nothing funnier than telling stories about Ruthie when she was a child.
Oh, so and we have shared.
Yes. Well, it's nice to know that Ruthie ever was a child. You know what I mean? Ruthie, we kind of walked into your life, if we're the kids, when you were an adult, were you a child? And show some funny pictures. And I remember my grandma showing me pictures of my dad when he was in high school. I'd never gotten to see those till a visit to my grandma's house when I was in college.
Oh, wow.
And my brother and I arrived there just to kind of rendezvous. And she takes out a yearbook. It was unbelievable. And it was just so, and my dad happened to walk in. He was coming to town too. We all came from our various areas. And just the opportunity to see my dad was a kid. I can't even imagine.
Went
that.
On dates?
Yes.
Those existed?
Yes, he actually had a skinny neck at some point in life. Just to help the children realize that we were there once. Yes, we dressed different. Yes, our hair was different and weird even when we were in high school from where we are as adults. But having fun, getting them to laugh. The best laughter, I in my opinion, is at Grandpa's expense. The best laughter is when Grandpa can't figure it out, or Grandpa drops the pancake, or Grandpa tries to do a funny-shaped pancake and it doesn't work out, or a funny-shaped cookie, or whatever it is, where everybody realizes, so self-contained, Grandpa can't do this, and just spend time laughing. When Grandpa, on our deck with Reuben, couldn't make bubbles come out of the bubble machine, and little Reuben can make bubbles come out of the bubble machine, and Grandpa's stealing the gun and trying, and I could, but I made believe that I couldn't, and so he's laughing now because he can do this in my face with bubbles and it's Ruben's bubble machine. And just helping them have fun because it helps them want to crawl into your lap and crawl into your life, and then you can share with them about Jesus. But again, as we said, that's a permission issue.
And speaking of pictures too, if there's an absent grandparent, grandfather wasn't around. My stepkids don't have either of their grandfathers. So we share stories. We keep pictures.
So
look how much data looks like, you know, your abuelo Samuel, and sharing stories, you know? And of course, there's always negative and positive, but it's trying to keep the positive. Like, you know what? You just did something that your grandfather always did, or you sound just like your grandfather. And they've never met him, but keeping him, you know, alive in a way to kind of keep the family connection, I think
because
that's valuable.
It's very valuable. I come from something. I'm not just here and in these lonely, isolated times. There's a string that I'm on. I'm on one of the knots on this string that's going somewhere. But I will say, when they're not here, they're not here. There's nothing you can do about it. When they are in the same town, it's so valuable to connect, to let them know you come from a long line. Yes, we have our dysfunction. Yes, let me help you know, there are no functional families. Well, you know, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It's not just the Barneses that fall short of the glory of God. We all have dysfunction. We've got to talk about and deal with our dysfunction because you do come from something.
But Rosemary, what if you don't, you're not that kind of super fun person? You don't, you know.
Why don't you look over at Rosemary and just assume she wasn't a super fun?
I think she would have the answer to this question.
Oh, boy. Wait, now you're putting me under tremendous pressure.
No, but, you know, you've been a workaholic your whole life. You're a grandparent now, and you raise your kids by the skin of your teeth, and now you have to be fun.
Yeah.
And
well, I think, you know, again, it's your mindset and choosing. And if you aren't just naturally a funny person or a great sense of humor or something, then figure it out. You know, call a friend that you know is a happy, fun grandma or grandpa, or get some materials, or, you know, there's things online on fun things to do for nothing with a child. Get some ideas, work on it, but don't give up just because you may not be the fun kind of grandpa that gets bubbles in his face. Choose to find fun things to do.
And decide that the fun things aren't the goal. Yeah. Decide that they don't have to be perfect. I'm so frustrated because we tried to have this little tea party and it wasn't perfect.
Well, or we broke the cups.
Yeah. You know, and for me, and you describe me and Rosemary a little bit in that, I am a perfectionist. And you used the word workaholic, which worried me a little bit. That is me. And I had to decide that the making of the cookies was just the excuse to have fun together. We would have a couple of years. We didn't do it all every year. We had the cookie making contest when our children were growing up. And I got so into it one year that I draped a fishing line down the center of the kitchen
Rosemary
table.
Rolling your eyes. This is awesome.
And I hung newspapers so that either team couldn't see what either team was making in the cookies. Goodness. And then I made this thing that I knew it didn't look like a camel. It didn't look like a camel, but I swore it looked like a camel cookie. And we were going to bring Mr. Larry over, our next door neighbor, to judge whose cookie was better. And the whole laughter was the fact that I swore it was a camel. And he said, it looked more like a turtle, doesn't look like a camel. And he got into it and he got me. He understood it has nothing to do with the cookie. I want to argue so the children can be dying laughing. Mm-hmm. And the other time when we were making cookies one year and we decided to take the flour and put it on our face and act like we were Pharisees fasting and putting white flour on our face from it. And everybody's laughing. And Rosemary comes in and looks at three little faces covered, mine and their little faces, covering. You remember, we even have a picture of this, covering with white flour.
That was a lot of mopping.
Yeah,
yes, it was.
Yeah, did you help clean up?
I can't remember. I'm sure, since I'm the perfect husband, that I chose to do that. But I had to, and Rosemary helped me with this. It's not about doing this perfectly, or the pumpkin carving contest we would have at home. And just the laughter and the fun. And I realized it's
throwing
more
seeds on each other.
Throwing seeds and making the seeds stick on Tori, which she couldn't stand that, or she acted like she couldn't, but she'd still be close to me so I could throw the seeds on her from the pumpkin. And Rosemary helped me realize, because she's a first grade teacher for a decade, it's not about the project. It's about the process.
And about relationship.
And about relationship.
As you're doing the project.
The deal is get them laughing. Get them laughing and it'll be so much fun. Mm. We have a little more experience, and the experience is not in advising our children. The experience is our ego doesn't have to be in the grandparenting. Our ego doesn't have to be in what we do perfectly. Our ego doesn't have to be in competing with the other set of grandparents over what we buy for our grandchildren. Mm-hmm. Our ego needs to be in, I'm going to make these children laugh so that I can work my way into their heart, so that I can share my faith with these kids.
That's really what it comes down to.
Bingo.
Keeping an avenue totally open so that they can feel free and accepted enough to share anything.
Right.
Not judged, but at least mom and dad are going to get angry. They might punish me, but then at least grandma and grandpa are there.
Have a listening ear and listen without judgment, as you said, Ruthie, and not act shocked if they're dealing with something.
Because you always get shocked. I mean, even as parents. Okay, sorry.
So you just want to remember the goal, and the goal is to open the lines of communication with your grandchild.
And keep the lines of communication with your children in the process. Right. And I won't act shocked if my daughter calls me ahead of time and says, he's coming over in his bicycle, his hair is purple. I'm preparing you for that. Hey, Phil, help us there. But also, when my children give consequences to my grandchildren, I can't get caught in the middle of that. And when they want to complain on the phone or whatever to grandma and grandpa, I'm sure your parents are doing the right thing. We need to stop right here. Mm-hmm. I'm sure your parents are doing the right thing.
Be a team.
Yes. So that my children always know I will back them up in those issues. I want to not compete with anybody but me. And I want to compete with me. How can I do a better, humbler, more servant spirit job of having fun with my grandchildren, showing up in their lives, showing up at their soccer games, cheering only positives for them, so that we earn the right to go get a Jamba Juice and we earn the right to talk about the game, but we also earn the right to share lessons. And Lord Jesus, help me think of a lesson to share with this child as we're sitting there, to pass on to this child the baton.
And one last thing I want to say that I think is so incredibly pivotal is prayer. Mm. Praying for the children, praying for their salvation, praying for their spiritual growth, praying for the specific needs of the child, praying for the parents if they're not believers. I think sometimes we forget the power of prayer. We've been told and taught in the Word of God that we're to be lifting each other up, the needs, and what greater way of ministering to children than praying for them.
I had not been to church. I'd only seen my grandma in Colorado 3 times. She prayed for me, sent me a letter at a pivotal point, and it was one of the 4 things that week that I came to Christ because of. Pray for your grandchildren and pray for their parents, your children.
You've been listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries and Rosemary Barnes sharing a little bit more about grandparenting. And if you want to hear this program again, or you missed the ones earlier in the week, you can listen to them all over again and share them online at parentingtoday.org. I'm your host, Ruthie J, and if you do appreciate this program and would like to give financially to Sheridan House Family Ministries to help continue this program and so many other aspects of the ministry, you can give online at shfm.org. It's short for Sheridan House Family Ministries. And we hope you'll join us next week for another topic here on Parenting Today.